number 073020, Saeed against the Attorney General. Mr. Sanders.
Good morning, Your Honors. We're here to take a look at Saeed with respect to Subhan. Subhan was the case that you decided against a client of mine that when there was a denial of a continuation and there was no reason at all given for it, it should be sent back. This is an extension of this. Subhan said there must be some reason consistent with the statute in order to show that there was due process given and rational consideration. The statutes say that the alien has the burden of showing good cause and that they are prima facie eligible for the visa that they are applying for. The various cases that have been decided have said, oh, if the judge says the application is frivolous and turns it down, that's a reasonable, reasoned opinion. Other cases have said, oh, the judge looked at it and said that it didn't appear from the facts that this was very likely to succeed and was not justified to remand back. In this case, the immigration judge heard the various requests for appeal and said, well, it doesn't look like this case passed muster, and therefore we're not giving you an extension. By that, he was referring to the fact that Mr. Saeed's labor certification, while it was approved and an I-140 submitted, the service initially rejected it, after which time he appealed. And basically, the immigration judge was saying, well, if you've been turned down, then that must be right, and there's no basis to continue this. Why go on?
What's the status of the administrative appeal?
The appeal is still pending, Your Honor.
As I understand the procedural history, your client was given three continuances to process the labor certification and the I-140 visa petition, and at the fourth appearance told the immigration judge that the visa petition had been denied, and at that point the judge denied yet another continuance.
Yes, Your Honor.
And so that's what we have here. And the question is whether the denial of the continuance because the visa petition had been denied falls within the Subhan exception to the jurisdiction stripping provision.
No.
And why should it? Since
we have to look at the facts that you've brought up, which is that this is a multi-stage process that the government puts people through to ensure that they get good review and that the visa is earned. The first step has to go through the labor certification. And the first three extensions, as I recall, were given in order to get the labor cert approved. And it was approved. So then we went on to the I-140. And the I-140 was processed. And then we went into the appeal. And
I-140 was not just processed, it was denied. So why isn't that enough to constitute a reason under the Subhan case sufficient to fall within?
That this application was frivolous or that there was some reason for it not to be expected to go through because...
Well, the fact is it didn't go through. So this is very different from Subhan, in which the alien was awaiting the labor certification. So we're much further along in the process in this case.
I indicated to the court this was an extension of Subhan. Yes, it's not.
Several phases an extension of Subhan.
Well, if there's an appeal process allowed in the statutes, then the alien is proceeding according to law and doing the best he can under the very slow, extremely slow processing that the service seems to run into from time to time. And we have this conflict between operations of the judge and operations of the service. And we ask the judge to be considerate of the time needed by the service. An appeal is part of the process. Until the appeal is turned down, the I-140 is still open to be approved and for him to get his visa and to be able to stay. If he is sent overseas in connection with a labor certification, he has no chance of getting it. It's wiped out, which is different than a marriage situation where if he's not granted, the spouse is not granted a continuance, the alien can still go overseas and adjust through their spouse. So the loss of rights here are much more serious.
What was the basis for the administrative appeal?
The basis of the administrative appeal was that the government didn't understand all of the accounting that his sponsor put into the record that showed that they had enough income to pay the wage that the Labor Department certified should be paid for his position. And they were a strong company earning a lot of money. And as many small companies, they eliminate the profit on the corporation by paying out all the income to their partners or stockholders under an S corporation arrangement, or paying it out to a subsidiary so that that corporation has no income. And I pointed out to the appeals court that the same people that owned the business also owned the real estate that was paying a rent that was siphoning off all of the profits. And so that the group of people that were sponsoring him had lots of money to pay what he was expected to earn. But it just didn't follow simple rules of saying, hey, on line two, it's got to have so much money to pay. So, have we met our burden? We are statutorily still eligible to receive a visa when our appeal is approved. And cutting it off eliminates due process. And the problem with the decision of the immigration judge is that he didn't look at the basis of the appeal as this court has and say, oh, either it's frivolous or that, well, it has substance. I'm not here to make the decision, but it's substantively enough to justify continuing and giving him further time. My light's on.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. Here now for Mr. Petouris.
May it please the court. My name is Thomas Petouris, and I represent the Attorney General. The immigration judge in this matter evaluated Mr. Saeed's prima facie eligibility to receive an eventual adjustment of status and determined that he was no longer prima facie eligible to receive an adjustment of status and denied his continuance on that basis. That denial, pursuant to Subhan, does not serve to nullify the adjustment of status statute, which is the standard in Subhan. Accordingly, pursuant to this court's decision in Ali, which defined the issue as, does the reason for the denial of the continuance serve to nullify the adjustment statute? The immigration judge properly denied the continuance, and this court does not possess jurisdiction to review the basis for that denial.
One of your colleagues was here a little bit earlier today arguing that we do have jurisdiction to review the denial of a continuance, but not asking that we revisit Ali, and I'm a little confused about your department's position on that. I know there's a petition for rehearing on the Potdar case.
Yes, I spoke to Mr. Durant. The department's position is that the court does have jurisdiction. However, pursuant to Ali, this Court has decided that it does not. And Ali fully sets forth the government's arguments and substantively rejects those arguments.
So you're not asking that we revisit Ali in this case or in the earlier case that we heard today?
No, we are not.
Well, what's the import of the government's position in the Potdar case then? Isn't that a similar jurisdictional issue?
Yes, Your Honor. The problem is we're in front of a panel here, and I know the Seventh Circuit has, in certain cases, one panel has disagreed with another panel, and there's a very high standard for doing so. In Potdar, the government has been ordered to respond in an en banc proceeding, and it is appropriate at that point for the government to present its position that the court possesses jurisdiction to review these matters. But until Ali is reviewed and disagreed with by the en banc court, that panel decision appears to be controlling upon this panel.
Okay. And that is what. So you're asking in the Potdar case that Ali be revisited? But
yes,
you're not asking.
Part of the en banc court, which the government feels is the appropriate place to present that argument. Of course, the en banc court could reject that, at which time the government would cease to make that argument in front of the court and possibly pursue that at the Supreme Court. As Ali sets forth, there are multiple circuits that have found that there is jurisdiction to review these, and there are a handful that have not. The government respects that court decision and has done so in this case. And until the court revisits that in an en banc review, that is the controlling law in this circuit. Happy to answer any questions the panel has.
Thank you, Mr. Futuris. How much time does Mr. Sanders have? Mr. Sanders, you have 2 minutes.
With respect to the discretion of the court to make decisions that are not reviewable, if it's discretionary, it's not reviewable unless there was something wrong with the basis of the decision. And our position here is that the review of the case was not sufficiently detailed to go to the merits of the case to show that the judge did not abuse his discretion by merely passing it off. And the 11th Circuit has shown that under Merchant that eligibility to receive a visa under an I-140 is a continuing possibility. And the question is, has the adjudication been detailed enough to support the conclusion? And we would submit that it was not.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. The court thanks both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement. The court will take a brief recess prior to hearing the last case of the day.
Ms. Floor. Yeah, 20 minutes. Hi, did Judge Sykes make her way back up? Judge Ripple had requested, since there's a little appearance, he requested that she come back on the 25th floor. Talk about the cases that they work in. Thanks. Bye-bye.